All right, you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
Sound what?
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
What's going on, everybody? This is Michael.
This is Kevin.
And you are listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. If you've heard our voices before, we've been on a few times, had the opportunity to jump on air. We're on air for David Hoekstra tonight, which is pretty darn cool.
So Sound Sessions in for Nocturnal Journal with Dave Hoekstra. So thanks for taking the night off, Dave, for giving us the opportunity.
Yeah, thank
Stephanie,
you, Dave.
Todd, everybody. So, for those that don't know us, we are Sound Sessions, collectively known as. We basically usually do music-based content, artist interviews, bands that have come through, you know, festivals, things like that.
Your go-to thing for all music here in Chicago. We have a great, you know, relationship with Dave, too, so this is a good fit, I feel like. It's a podcast that we do on WGN Radio. It was formerly on WGN Plus, and what we have going on is just, you know, if you want to see the latest bands that are coming through the city, national and local bands, just let us know, and we'll probably reach out to them.
And on that note, let's get the propers out of the way.
Let's do it.
Where can you find us? Well, you're listening to us, and if you want to talk to us right now, you can text or call 312-981-7200. That's probably your most direct, easy way. Otherwise, you know, we're on iTunes.com/soundsessions, Twitter at SoundSeshPod, Instagram, SoundSessionsWGN. You can search Sound Sessions on Facebook. You can email us, SoundSessionsPod@gmail.com. We got Dan Long behind the glass here.
What's going on, Dan?
Hey, now. Good evening, guys.
Good to see you.
Super happy to be working with Dan. He's been here forever. He's been doing the thing. He's a legend.
I've never worked with you guys on the air before. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm excited, too.
It's a room full of producers right now.
Exactly right.
To be honest. How many producers did it take to screw in a light bulb? Three.
Too many.
Or run a show.
Yeah.
We're kind of everywhere as far as social media goes. And the best part is, if you reach out to us or message us at any time, we will get back to you personally right away because we always love hearing from people. We have a lot of cool things going on. We're going to do a few concert giveaways this May. There's a lot of great festivals that are coming up. So,
yeah.
But, you know, let's get into the show, Kevin.
Yes, let's do that.
I think it's about time.
Let's do that.
I hear that there's been a lot of news. You know, there was the draft that just came to town, and you were fuming all day, right?
Well, thank you for setting me up. Yeah, but not for the reason that you would think.
Okay.
What I'm fuming at is Bears fans, the fan base collectively. Yeah, thank you, Dan, for this. I want to get into this. So apparently, and this is, I'm going to say my bit and I'm going to be done with it because I've thought about it a lot.
Yeah.
And it's been talked to death. So we'll cover it briefly and we'll move on.
For the 2017 Bears.
It's 2017 Chicago Bears draft. So apparently, Chicago is full of thousands of talent scouts and GMs. I didn't know this. All of you seem to think you know so much about all these players to the point where you're bashing them on social media, you're booing them in public at a Bulls game. So all you really know, really, is what these experts are telling you. You know, these draft experts, these you know, scouts and all that. But half the time, they're wrong, if not more. Ryan Pace, the Bears GM, has a pretty great draft history. Seems to know how to find a talent in the draft late. Everyone is currently freaking out about trading picks for Mitch Trubisky or not getting the player that everybody wanted. Listen, take a breath. Let's give them a chance. Let's see them take the field and play a down or two. Like I said, booing Mitch Trubisky at the Bears game, it's unacceptable. And I really, honestly, and it hurts me to say this, I think the Chicago Bears fan base is one of the worst fan bases in the NFL.
Mic drop.
Everybody relax, buy in, bear down. That's all I have to say on the matter.
I'm kind of glad you got that off your chest, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, it's like I'm on Facebook and I'm seeing everybody just, you know... Dan, I'm sure you can speak to this a little bit.
Yeah, it was, I mean, Thursday night, Twitter just blowing up with, and I'm guilty of it because my initial reaction was the same thing. How could you, like, give up the farm, so to speak, for, you know, a quarterback who you think is going to be a franchise quarterback, but, you know, stepping back, Ryan Pace felt good enough to make that deal to, you know, essentially hinge his job on it.
Yes.
And also, all of these NFL GMs are professionals, and we don't know what they knew and when they knew it. Everybody assumes that Pace and the Bears got played, but you know, no other GM is going to leak to an NFL reporter like, yeah, the Bears totally got us. I screwed up. I didn't get the guy I wanted. So,
right, exactly.
So some of those,
they're
you know,
trying to save face a little.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't you guys think that it's about time, you know, that they kind of did shake up the system a little
bit?
Yeah,
okay, yeah, let's speak to that. Like I said, you know, this is all I'm going to say on the matter. Apparently not. So, yeah, this is the same fan base that was just booing, like, why can't we have a franchise quarterback? Jay Cutler's not cutting it. Well, we got Jay Cutler out of town, and mm-hmm. now we're trying to find a franchise quarterback, and everybody's freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down.
It's almost like we've tried to go through a few quarterbacks over the last like 10 years and they all haven't worked out or something like that.
Well, maybe
so,
longer
so
than that.
Weird. I could see how you could get upset about that.
Yeah, I just, you know, I believe in the system, believe in Ryan Pace, and I'm a diehard Bears fan, and I'm hoping it pans out. If not, well, then we have to move on, and we'll revisit this discussion.
So what do you think is going to be happening in the 2017 Bears season? What do you see the over-under as far as wins to losses?
I'm going to say, you put the over-under at like 6 wins, I might take the over on that.
Okay.
And I think the Bears this year, this coming year, you're going to start to see things start to click for the team. I think they're going to start turning the page a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to be great this year,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to start putting it together a little bit. That's what I think.
Okay, I can appreciate that. I mean, it's been, to be honest, Kevin, it's been a very weird year for sports.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this a little bit with Adam last time, but the fact that, you know, we had the Patriots win the Super Bowl, the Cubs won the freaking World Series.
Yeah.
and now that the Bears are probably like, you know, we got to step it up too. Okay. Granted, the Bulls just dropped out of the playoffs,
yeah,
but
it's a rough time right now to be a Bears fan,
mm-hmm.
or a sports fan in Chicago, rather.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the Blackhawks too. Come on, Chicago.
Anyway, let's move on from this.
Yeah, you look like you lost
show.
Like a pound or two.
Yeah, I got that off my chest. Just everybody take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
I agree. So what do we got going on the show tonight?
So coming up today, like we mentioned with Hannah, at 9:30 here after the news, we'll be talking, like I mentioned, National Burger Month, mm-hmm. in the month of May. And as far as I'm concerned, Chicagoland proper has some of the best burgers in the country, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of want to go through, pick some favorites. We'll go around the room. Maybe Dan, you can get involved. I know you've got some, Michael.
Absolutely.
We'd love to take calls and texts on the matter. 312-981-7200. So yeah, that's at 9:30. Best burgers in Chicago. At 10 o'clock, like you had touched on, the Fire Festival fiasco. So
yes,
talk
about that. You know, as being a music guy, and I'm sure Kevin and Dan, you guys have been to 100 festivals. I mean, we're known as a festival city. There's
right.
so many things going on, and I feel like we're kind of spoiled because we tend to do it well. I mean, Lollapalooza is one of the greatest festivals in the world. People come from all over the place. But just imagine, if you're going to a festival in Jamaica, spending $10,000 on tickets and upwards of that.
And whose festival is this again?
This is the great Ja Rule.
Ja Rule. Who's,
yes.
Whose fine lyrics include Every Thug Needs a Lady, I believe.
Yeah.
Only much raspier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you remember him, he's that from the early 2000s. He did a lot of songs with J-Lo. Very popular guy. He hasn't been on the radar in a while. And this is not something you want to get back on the radar for, is your festival just going to hell.
Right. You want better news than that.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
then, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, we have our good friend, Haima Black, who's a great podcaster here in Chicago. He hosts a lot of panels, and he just gave a panel on how to run a successful festival. And so it's kind of funny that this all came to be right
if
after
If only
that.
Ja Rule had attended.
His invitation must have been lost in the mail or something like that. And then, yes, we have that. And then at 10:30, we're going to be looking at a lot of great other topics. A little sound sesh fun. We might be giving away those T-shirts.
Cycling through the vault, if you will. So, yeah, lots of fun in store. Why don't we take a quick break? And then I know a Sound Sessions radio show would not be complete without a Michael Heideman crockpot story.
Yeah, but I was going to say, there's no pot involved in this. but there is potpourri, and there is a lot of crockpottingness.
There we go. So, yeah.
So, of course, we need to bring in a crockpot. And, Kevin, I got a story for the ages. I'm about to embark on a whole new mission. So I'm going to tease that out.
All right, cool. Well, this is Sound Sessions here on WGN. All right, welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. As like we had said, I am Kevin Richter.
And this is Michael Heideman. Good to see you, Kevin.
Good to see you. Always fun to hang out with you here on the air, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I had mentioned before the break, it seems that every time we do an on-air segment, somehow we get into crockpots.
This often happens. It happens a lot, actually.
Yeah, so from what I understand, we have a crackpot tale coming.
Well, let me tell you. I mean, one of the things that I tried to do for 2017 is I had three tenets of what I wanted to better myself at.
Because, yeah.
You know, you do a New Year's resolution, and people are like, I want to give up smoking. I want to lose weight. No, I wanted to get better at cooking. I want to get better at dancing, and I want to learn how to exercise more.
Not all at the same time, right? These are all separate.
These are sometimes okay. they can mix all three.
Yeah,
together.
I could see that, sure.
Which leads me into tonight. So there is this thing that I've recently come across, and on top of being a huge crockpot fan,
well, when did you get your crockpot? This is relatively new in your world. Correct?
True, I got it in December for Christmas.
Okay.
I wanted to learn how to teach myself to cook, and we had a great segment a few months back talking about the best crockpot recipes. So listeners that called in and left the messages about the best crockpot recipes, I took your advice. And I'm about to embark on a taco recipe, my first taco recipe ever.
Okay. Well, hold on. Before you get to that,
yes.
So you just recently came upon a wealth of groceries, if you will. Is that correct?
True. You could say that. So, Dan, Kevin, did you guys get your tax returns?
Yeah, my wife filed extremely early, so we got it, I think, in February.
Oh, man. Jeez. Humble brag.
Well, she's on top of it, not me.
How about you, Dan?
No, I'm a day of guy, so I'm still waiting. Like a TurboTax afternoon of the 18th or whatever it was this year.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, sometimes you got to put it off. It's not really the most fun thing to do. But okay, now, guys, you have this money. It's dropped into your account. What's the first thing you're going to do with it?
Credit card.
Credit card? Okay,
probably.
Dan?
That's tough. Probably catch up on various bills. I got to be responsible, you know?
Right.
Oh, geez, you guys are adulting hard right now. Mine was, I found out about this thing called Peapod, which is a delivery service for groceries.
Right.
And no sponsorship at all. Granted, it is a very cool company. I spent more money than I think I've ever spent in my entire life on this Peapod getting groceries.
So this cracks me up. So we had just said we spend it on our credit card. A lot of people buy themselves a cool new toy or something. And
fools.
You're just like, nope, food. This is happening.
Food. I will have no boundaries when it comes to food spending. I mean, I want to learn how to, I want to be able to eat.
Right.
So I spent, let's just say I hovered around $300.
For one person.
For one person.
That's a lot.
And one fridge. And one crock pot.
But there's no better feeling in the world than having that full fridge.
Oh, when you open it and you see colors of all the food.
I know,
food,
it's just it's all backlit too and beautiful. Yeah.
Man, it's...
And it lasts a day for some reason.
Right? Why does it always go by so fast? So yes, I used all of my money to buy an exorbitant amount of food. And granted, I wear the same T-shirt every single day.
I'm picturing ostrich steaks and just exotic meat.
Close. You know what I've been really into lately is getting the rope sausages.
Okay.
Because that's a great thing to cook in the crock pot because it fits so perfectly in it. But mainly what I got was I got the rope sausage and then I got this great taco meat that I'm going to be able to do.
So preseason taco meat.
Preseason taco meat. I got, get this, onions, grape tomatoes. Have you seen these things?
Yeah,
little tiny cherry tomatoes.
Little fun guys, yeah.
Throw that in to make a little taco supreme myself.
So hold on. This is Michael's taco crockpot recipe, right?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Take notes. Get your pens and papers
out. So
I'm
taking notes. Taco recipe. Mm-hmm. Start with pre-made taco meat.
Yes, you got to get the pre-made taco meat.
Okay.
You don't want to just cut it up yourself.
So this is pre-seasoned and everything?
It is pre-seasoned, yes.
Okay.
But it's lightly seasoned. I mean, you can get it from the old Peapod corner.
Sure.
You got to get the pre-packaged grape tomatoes.
Cherry tomatoes, right?
Cherry tomatoes, yes.
Not grape tomatoes. Is that a thing?
I think that they're called grape tomatoes.
Okay.
Tell me if I'm wrong, listeners. Anyway.
I'm going to Google it.
And while you Google that, I'll keep going. We got some onions. And then we've got the Peapod-sponsored tortillas at the same time. Is there anything that I'm missing from these tacos?
I think that's it. But you are right. It is grape tomatoes.
Yes.
So you've got your onion. Mm-hmm. Now, is the onion going into the crock pot?
Yes, of course the onion is going into
the crock
pot.
Well, some people like it raw. I don't know. I'm not sure. And then you've got your grape tomatoes and then tortillas.
Yes, and then I thought, because I'm a huge fan of hot sauce. I mean, are you a fan of
absolutely.
The hot sauce?
Absolutely.
My taste buds are burnt to the core right
yeah,
now
because
I love it so much.
I think we have 15 different hot sauces in our fridge right now. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
You outdid me. I got one, and this is all you need. Have you ever had Frank's Red Hot?
Frank's is great.
Hot sauce.
Frank's is great. Oh,
you put it on everything. You put it on everything. So that's how you top it off to make it just Michael's supreme taco recipe. Dan, what do you think?
I like it.
Thanks, man.
You're such a bachelor. It cracks me up.
Well, I mean, I like to live simply. And yes, see, now we're getting some texts about
grape
the grape tomatoes.
That's a real thing. See,
well, I guess smaller and oval.
Yeah. So
thank you.
But I love that all your recipes, and they have to live online somewhere, I'm sure, the audio of this. But every time you share a crockpot recipe, it's all pre-made, pre-packaged, just ready to go stuff. It cracks me up. So there's no real. I'm not bashing your cooking. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's delicious.
Yes.
I'm just saying you're not like seasoning.
It is delicious.
Yeah.
Is there a seasoning I should put on? Like that's why I bring this up on this forum.
On
putting
tacos?
It on the 50,000-watt blower.
312-981-7200. What do you put on your tacos? What's good? I always like cilantro. You know, a little extra cilantro in there.
Cilantro's good.
Yeah.
I kind of go down the Chipotle line. That's what I kind of got it from. I don't use a cheese. Because I'm lactose intolerant. So,
are you?
Yeah, because when you eat too much dairy, and, you know, it hit me at age 23 too. It was I had a malted milkshake, and I've never felt so sick in my entire life from that moment. So no cheese on my tacos is what I'm saying.
Okay, well that's fine.
But yeah, I would love to learn some more stuff. I mean, it's great to, you know, go and get a new kind of hobby. And this is my hobby. I want to perfect and become America's first great crockpot.
Well, you won't
chef.
Be America's first, because that definitely exists already.
I'm taking it over, Kevin. Taking it over.
Well, I think you're making great strides. What about your other tasks? Because it seems like you're focusing really hard on the crockpotting.
Yes, it's been a lot of crockpot talk. But you know, the other thing about this Peapod thing, so I spent all this money. You're thinking, what else could you even buy with this kind of stuff? I bought this bulk collection of bananas. So right now I have about 40 bananas in my apartment that I need to eat before they go bad.
Now, I heard somewhere, I'm not sure how true this is, but mm-hmm. if you wrap the base of the, like, you know, the little...
We're looking at a banana right now.
The part
now,
that
in
you
fact.
Peel, right?
Yes.
So if you, like, you know how they all cluster right there?
Yeah.
If you wrap that, I heard, in like paper towel or some mm-hmm. sort of wrap, they're going to last much longer.
Just the base, so the where you pull it from,
yeah, exactly.
The like pop top of a banana.
Yeah, the pull tab.
Okay.
I don't know how true that is, but that's what I've heard. So, and if you've got 40 bananas, that's you're not going to be able to eat all those yourself before they go bad.
No, I tried it last time too. It was like 3 a day. I had so much potassium going through I felt like in the Incredible Hulk. But we'd love to take some listener calls and texts on this. I actually see that we got another one from the 815 area code. We're talking about a little hot sauce. How about, have you ever heard of La Perfidia?
Preferida. I have had that. It's
Red
really good.
Red Hot Taco Sauce.
I want to say they made Doritos chips out of those, I think. Let me take a look at here.
Wow.
La Preferida. They're very good.
Yeah, Doritos knows how to do it nowadays. But yeah, I'm looking for like new kinds of flavors because, you know, being the age that I am, I'm starting to like get a little bit more accustomed to the old stuff. I want to try something new. I could go to, you know, we have great taco places here in Chicago too. I don't know
Absolutely.
If you've been to the Big Star.
Oh yeah, I love Big Star.
Big Star is totally. Fantastic. There's that place that's by Au Cheval. Which leads us into our next segment.
I haven't
about burgers.
Been to that yet.
There's that place that's really good.
But yeah, La Preferida does not make the Doritos chips, but I've had that brand, and I definitely trust that brand.
All right, if you say so.
Well,
all right, 815 and Kevin, I'm going to take your advice, and I will come back with the next installment of Crockpot Talk here on Sound Sessions.
So there you have it, Crockpot Talk, Michael's Taco Recipe. Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. This is Kevin.
And this is Michael.
And before we set up shop here on the burger segment, mm-hmm. got to read some text and get to a few things. We're mm-hmm. unintentionally doing a food hour here. That was not my
oh,
goal.
Oh, yeah, I guess we are.
But here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So from the...
Getting
from,
hungry.
From the 630, this is to you, Michael.
Okay.
Why would you buy that many bananas, freeze them for smoothies? That's actually a good idea. What the first question? Yeah, why would you buy that many bananas?
Great question, 630.
Well, you found a good deal.
Yeah, yeah. If you here's a little tip for everybody: if you go on Peapod and you want to just dive into this online delivery thing, because we're just trying to make people's lives easier here on Sound Sessions,
right?
They have this great bulk deal on bananas. Get this, for about you get 30 to 40 bananas. I mean, don't quote me on this number. I got to go back and check.
You're getting like a crazy box full of bananas.
Which is a...
Kong style, that many bananas. We're talking.
Yes, you and him would become very close friends with this. For about $10.
That's a pretty good deal.
I mean, why wouldn't you get that many bananas, 630? And freeze them for smoothies? That's an amazing idea. I got to buy a blender now, though. Because you can't
baby steps.
Can you make a smoothie in a crock pot?
No.
No, probably not.
Well, okay, we'll get there. Okay. Also, I was getting texts from my wife and her family saying, how about all the herbs in your tacos? How about the raw onions? They recommend raw onions.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Sarah's, you know, she's shaking her head about the no cheese, but you're lactose intolerant.
Sorry, Sarah.
Our cousin Osman says, maybe we should work for the Food Network.
Ooh.
There's an idea.
Well, you put it out in the universe now. It would be the weirdest show, though, if we were on the Food
Network. We have no credibility whatsoever.
It would just be me talking about how I went to the grocery store that week and just bought a bunch of bananas.
I bought 15 pineapples. You'll never believe it.
Well, thank you, Sarah. I mean, I know that you and your family are really good chefs. I mean, actually, most of my crockpot advice comes from you and your fam. So, I mean, so thank you for doing that.
So let's get into this burger talk. So May is National Burger Month, and what an awesome month that is.
If you didn't think May could get any better, making it tied with burgers makes it so much better.
Well, and yeah, I mean, and in Chicagoland, the greater Chicagoland area, there are so many good spots. So I kind of wanted to just go around the room and take some calls and texts on the matter. 312-981-7200. Where, like, if you're picking one spot or a few spots that you're going to hit to celebrate this glorious holiday or month, if you will,
yeah,
where are you going to go?
Well, that's a really good point. Immediately, I think of my top three.
Well, what's your top three? Let's hear that.
Top three. From, there's in no particular order, because, you know, as every great burger eater knows, there's a mood and a time and a place for getting certain burgers.
I think also, I think the burger in Chicago is much like the deep dish versus thin crust. Like, it's a total, you have, every different spot in Chicago seems to have a different experience altogether, you know?
Yes, that's a really good point, because there is so much character that is given into it. And when you go to other cities in the country, you think, where is the best burger? And every place obviously has, you know, this is the spot to go to. But no place beats Chicago. I've been to a lot of places, and I've eaten a lot of burgers. And there's nothing better than these top three.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
Before we get to that, because it's not in Chicago, have you had In-N-Out Burger?
Yes, I have had In-N-Out Burger.
What do you think?
To be honest, it's not my favorite burger. To be fair with them, I like the combinations that you can make, and I like the fresh cut fries that they do.
Yeah.
But if I was going for a burger and I was like, I need to hit up this spot, like some places here in Chicago that I will mention in a few minutes, I'd hold off on it. What do you think of the In-N-Out?
My first experience was I was a little underwhelmed, and then I went back a second time and a third time. When I went back that second time, I was hooked immediately.
Yeah.
I love it. And you can't find anything quite like it here. Well, I'll get to that. You kind of can, but
yeah,
it's so hard to recreate.
That's a good point. And to be honest, like when I do go there, it's always an amazing time because my dad brings me and my brother and my mom go, and I love seeing how, you know, happy everyone is with those great burgers, and they're in the sleeves,
the
wrapping too, and it's just all the cheese is just falling out and sliding
so
everywhere. So I guess, yeah, the experience that I have with my family going there is kind of a welcome thing. And it's a very nice company too. They call you by your name.
It's
and
beautiful.
They bring your food out to you. So,
all right, but more Chicago-centric here. Where are your, you said you got a top three?
Yes.
What do you got?
All right, so here we go with the top three burgers for Michael here. Kevin, have you ever been to this amazing spot? And I know you have, but Kuma's Corner.
Of course.
Yeah.
Kuma's is a staple. It's so good.
Fantastic, from the heavy metal music to the great beer pairings they have there to the enormous burgers. These things are, you need two hands to hold these babies.
A little pro tip about Kuma's.
Yeah.
The build-your-own macaroni and cheese is equally as delicious as the burgers.
Ooh.
Yes.
Again, lactose intolerance.
Oh,
I can't try it.
Right.
But
sorry
it
about
sounds
that.
Really good. Sounds really, really good. I love that. Okay, number two, this place kind of snuck up on me.
Okay.
It was because one day I went to the Dew Division Fest, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And I was walking down the street, and I believe it was that fest, but or maybe it was just the Wicker Park Fest in general. And we were walking down the street, and I came across this lit up sign for Umami Burger. Have you ever been to Umami
No,
before?
But I've heard it raved about.
Yeah, it is absolutely phenomenal. And the cool thing about Umami is there's a lot of chain locations. So I think right now in Chicago we have two Umami burgers, which is fantastic. And I'm trying to find the article that I was reading about Umami, but I can't. But whatever, I can just talk about it myself. Umami is so good because it has these healthy options. Like, you can get this grilled ahi tuna burger, which is out of this world.
That sounds great.
And they have, like, a California, more, like, healthy-based options with the steamed bun. Oh, it is so good. So yeah, Umami Burger is up there for sure, and they have great cocktail pairings as well.
Great.
And the third one, of course, is the mother of all burgers here in Chicago. That is Au Cheval.
So good.
You can't beat it.
So good.
If you want to taste truly, Kevin, if you want to taste a burger that's just tastes like your uncle made in the 4th of July when it's nice and steaming hot, and you think to yourself, Uncle Bob, this is the best burger in town. You should start your own business.
It's that, right.
This is that kind of burger.
Yeah, it's pretty great there. There's no doubt. And the only thing, my only knock on it, and it's not really their fault, is the wait time can be out of control sometimes.
Oh my gosh, 2 hours for waiting for a burger?
Yeah.
You have to be insane to
do
that.
I think I've waited longer than that, honestly.
Yeah? What's the longest wait you've ever had?
Probably 3. I think 3 hours I had there once.
Man.
But you go across the way to Bad Wolf. Is it Bad Wolf?
Lone Wolf.
Lone Wolf. And you have a few drinks there, but...
They get about 80% of their business from wait from Au Cheval. And kudos to them. That's a great idea.
What about Dan? You got a couple of burger spots you like?
Yeah, see, and this is good for me because I don't get to spend as much time kind of hanging and dining in the city as I would have liked. But, I mean, I've heard Au Cheval and Umami Burger both come highly recommended just in kind of the, you know, publications
sure.
and stuff. But I will also second Kuma's Corner, and I got to give a shout-out. And it's kind of like a lame – it seems like a lame tourist answer, but once you get that burger in your hand, the grease – just dripping down.
Oh, yeah.
You're ready. Right downstairs, Billy Goat Tavern.
Oh. That's a good call. It's a classic Bam. Classic burger.
Yeah.
It just feels like journalism when you're down there.
It truly does. It's a legendary spot. And there's a certain handful of Trib guys that still frequent that spot. I think Rick Kogan and Rick Pearson are both, well, not to sell them out, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think they have their names, like, on there, too. I mean, to get your name at a burger restaurant, that is a pretty great deal. And that triple... cheeseburger, phenomenal.
Got to go triple, yeah.
You're going to go back if you get anything less.
So Dan's coming in with the Billy Goat. That's a good call. Well, I got a few here. And like I said, it's like deep dish versus thin crust for me. So I've got the staples, the well-known spots, right? Mm-hmm. Like your Au Cheval, it's definitely on my list. It's delicious. We kind of covered that. Kuma's is amazing. And they have – what's great about Kuma's is like the changing burger of the month and, you know, just the diversity of the menu. There's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Up in my neighborhood, up in Lincoln Square, Ravenswood area, there's Bad Apple. Are you familiar?
I have heard great things about this spot. What makes this place so great?
It's right there in line with Kuma's. It's, you know, really – hearty burgers. They got a variety of different ones. I want to say they have a different rotating burger each month too. Their fries are great. You can get them Old Bay covered, which
what is like, that?
Never had Old Bay. Oh
Old
my God.
Bay covered.
Dan,
French
are you familiar
fries?
With Old Bay?
I'm not.
Oh, it's the best. So this is like it's like a Maryland thing. That's how I know it. You get the Maryland steamed crabs,
okay.
And they just are doused in Old Bay seasoning. It's seasoning for seafood and you know whatever else, but on fries, it's delicious.
Is it like salty?
Yeah, it's salty. I mean, yeah, definitely it's a salt-based seasoning, yeah.
That sounds really good.
A little pro tip, put it on your ear of corn. Ugh, next level.
So, okay, what else we got down
so
the line?
So those are my big staples. Mm-hmm. And now I've got some sleepers, right? Not as often talked about.
Not as great burgers as the main ones.
Not that they're not as great. They just don't get the publicity, in my opinion. So right down the street from us currently, Jordan's Steakhouse. Their pub burger at the bar, I think it's like $12 or something. It's actually really, really solid.
Yeah.
Super good.
And they have a big menu of burgers, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Michael Jordan's is great.
Yeah,
I haven't been there in a really long time, though.
And
you know who frequents that place is WGN Radio host Dave Plyer. He likes to hit up Michael Jordan's.
Does he? So he could probably speak to this.
Yeah.
About their burger is very, like, I was honestly shocked when I had their burger. It's solid.
Mm-hmm.
Owen and Engine. Are you guys familiar with Owen and Engine?
This is another place that is like the folklore outdoes its taste. Because I haven't been there, but I've heard great things.
So this is over on Western and like Western and Logan, kind of by the Regal 14th cinema over there, right across the street. Also, and also right next to it is Fat Willie's Rib Shack. I want to say something like that. But anyway, it's a little like English type pub.
Mm-hmm.
Really good English food, but they do a burger and they mix it with I think it's two different types of meat. And then they have caramelized onions on top, and you can get a fried egg, you can get bacon. It's so good.
The fried egg and bacon combo that they've started putting on burgers, I know for the last like probably 6, 7, 10 years, is the greatest combo to put on a burger. Just the thought of a fried egg, I mean, you were so full by the end of that burger.
it's an experience.
Want to eat again.
It's an experience. Again, up in my neighborhood, up in Lincoln Square, there's a little spot called Gather.
Mm-hmm.
Their burger is excellent. I had it at, I think it's called Square Roots Festival. It's the festival, the street fest up in Lincoln Square.
Yeah.
And I had, the first time I had it was at a little street vendor doing the thing for them. And
flipping burgers on the street.
Which I love.
Yeah.
That's so Chicago summer to me, you know? So I had the burger there, and I loved it. Longman and Eagle over in Logan as well. They're... Obviously, I love burgers. I got like a list of 10 different spots.
Yeah, the Longman and Eagle. Now, that's a big whiskey bar, too.
Yeah,
right?
Well, and their food is amazing there. But what's great about them is their burger. Well, their kitchen's open until like 2 a.m. So if you're out having a late night and you want a quick bite,
mm-hmm.
go get the burger there. It's pretty great. And then another late night spot, and this is totally different than the rest. This is not like a sit down place. This is a quick, you go up to the counter and order. Red Hot Ranch on Ashland. Are you familiar?
Never. I've never heard of this spot.
Ugh.
Have you, Dan?
Mm-mm, no.
Red okay. Hot Ranch.
So this is as close to In-N-Out Burger you're going to get in Chicago. It's like I said, the fries are cut fresh right there. You go up to the counter, you order, you wait maybe 5 minutes, you got your hot, fresh burger, you got your fries all wrapped together. Ugh, amazing. So if I'm going to pick three, if we were doing like a top three, I'm going Au Cheval.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, this is actually really hard.
You listed a lot of good options.
I'm definitely doing that Red Hot Ranch. That's on my number two.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh man, I'm torn between Owen and Engine and Kuma's, honestly.
This is a big moment for you, Kevin.
I'm leaving it at that. My okay. top three is actually four.
I see. Okay.
So, well, you can reach us at 312-981-7200. We'd love to get your take on all this. We actually have a call right now.
Yeah, do we? Do you want to take the call?
Yeah, let's get Steve here. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Steve, what's
going on? I used to live in Edgewater,
mm-hmm.
and on Broadway, right before Thorndale, there's a place called Moody's Pub.
I've heard of it.
And they have wonderful burgers. You select your own toppings. They got a great beer garden for the summer. And then inside, they got a ceramic fireplace. I mean, it's just a wonderful place.
Oh, that sounds great. So what's your like go-to burger there, Steve?
I always get the jalapeno onion with just American cheese.
See, simple.
That's a good burger,
but good. Yeah, see,
that's
and
a good burger.
So, Steve, what makes it the best in the city? Like, what's the main draw that you're selling?
Not the best.
To?
They're just wonderful because I like the grease dripping down my arm.
Yes,
I love that.
And they butter the bun,
mm-hmm.
and they're half pound.
That's what I'm talking about. A half pound burger that is the grease dripping down your arm. I love that that description.
Yeah,
it just makes
great.
Me think of summer and just tasty food. Steve, thanks so much for the call, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling Sound Sessions.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Take care. Well, let's do this. We got a bunch of texts on the matter. Why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back and wrap up more Burger Talk. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
All right, cool. You listen to Sound Sessions here on WGN. Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. We're talking great Chicago burgers, and May is National Burger Month, so we are celebrating. We're embracing this holiday
mm-hmm.
wholeheartedly, arms wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Greasy arms wide open.
Yes, it's from caller Steve.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we got a bunch of texts on the matter here. Abby, she is seconding our thoughts on Au Cheval.
Thank you, Abby. You're a smart woman.
She also says Boppin' Grill. Grill.
Boppin' Grill. Now, where's that at?
I don't know. I have to look that up.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with that one. Michael is also seconding Kuma's, and he suggests Edzo's in Evanston. Their poutine fries are next level, he's saying.
Well, that sounds tasty. Now, it looks like the Boppin' Grill is on North Sheridan Road here in Chicago and on Belmont. So it looks like there's two spots. It doesn't look like it's too pricey either, so maybe we should go and try that place out sometime soon.
Well, we got a text here from the 724. What do these burgers cost? Do I need to take out a loan? Well, let's get into that real quick here. So that's a great question, actually, because the burger is, I feel like it's the new sexy food, or it's become the sexy food.
It's trending right now, as the kids would say.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, well, I can speak to like Au Cheval. It can get up there. I mean, you're going to spend under $20, which I know sounds like a lot for a burger, and it kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you add the bacon and you add the egg on it and all that, which you should.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be, what, $14-$15?
Yeah, it's about $14-$15, and I think that's about the same price as Umami.
Yeah, I think once you hit these, like, big-time burger chains, or mm-hmm. not chains, but burger establishments like your Au Cheval, your Kuma's, your Bad Apple, that's probably your standard, right? $14-$15 or so.
Yeah, I feel like they do that for a reason too. So it's like it feels like you're getting a luxury burger when it's all just comes down to it. As in contrast to what we've got here at the Billy Goat, I mean, there's a lot of different things that go into the best burger, like its taste, what the experience is like,
right.
And of course, price. I mean, get this, $14 at Umami for the triple cheeseburger at Billy Goat, which is three patties. $7.
Yeah, you can't. Well, that's the same concept with Red Hot Ranch. You'll go in there and you get. I think I normally go with the double because three is just too much for me.
Yeah,
but I think I spend maybe $8 there. You get your fries, your drink, everything for, and you're there for 10-15 minutes.
See, that means a lot. I mean, especially when you're trying to save money.
But I didn't mention this. Red Hot Ranch on Ashland is open till like 4 a.m. I want to say.
Oh, see that, and there we go again.
And those fries, so good.
What are they called again? Blue cheese fries or something?
No, that's actually further down here. Let's get more into these. From the 815, Burgers and Beer in Kankakee, voted top 10 in Illinois. I don't know if that's just like a suggestion, like, hey, have some burgers and beer in Kankakee, or is that the name of the place?
Kankakee's a great place for burgers and beers. Who would have thought about it?
It's top 10 in Illinois to come just have burgers and beer.
I think their water tower is actually just a big burger on top of like a big stem.
Also,
I'll go there.
Well, we got a text that's not... He's kind of mean. I'm assuming it's a he. From the 773, hey, millennial.
Mm-hmm.
Nice way to start a text.
Yeah. I think we're on the cusp of it. I don't think we're millennials anymore.
You know. But he says, he or she says, $10 for 40 bananas is a ripoff. 30 cents a pound, 20 pound, $6. Do the math. Okay, whatever.
These are lies. These are lies. I want him to call right now. Yeah,
but these bananas were hand-delivered to you.
They were hand-delivered to my door. And I'm holding up one now for all of our listeners who are streaming us on the live stream right now. I know my mom.
Banana
is.
For scale.
Hi, Mom. Look at the size of this banana. This is a big banana. Oh, you know what? This is all straight out of context. I'm setting myself up for that. But seriously, look at the size of this banana and tell me it's not the most, like, juicy, greatest banana you've ever seen.
It's a large banana.
Anyway,
from the 815, Animal Style In-N-Out Burger. Yeah, I had to look that up. Do you know off the top of your head what the Animal Style at In-N-Out is?
You know, this is something my brother Adam gets all the time when he goes to In-N-Out. I think that, Dan, do you have an idea of what the Animal Style at In-N-Out is? It's a famous kind of order you can get at that place.
Yeah, there's some... sauce combination that they put on there. I think it's like, I don't want to speculate, but it's some combo of like ketchup and Thousand Island and mayo,
yeah,
something like that.
That sounds right. Yeah.
I'm looking at it here. This is from from hackthemenu.com. The In-N-Out Animal Style Burger is one of In-N-Out Burger's most popular secret menu items. So what is it? Let's see. The secret is pickles, extra spread, grilled onions, and mustard fried burger patties.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really seeing too much, so it just looks like a really messy, delicious burger.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like it's got that Thousand Island sauce on there. I feel like that's the staple for In-N-Out, right?
Yeah, you know what's really interesting? So I lived in Utah for a short time, and they have this thing called fry sauce, which is the ketchup mixed with the Thousand Island. That's a really big thing out west.
Do you remember Good Burger?
The movie? You're talking to Kenan and Kel's Good Burger?
Yes.
Of course, I remember Good
Burger.
I remember
they had the secret sauce too, but I'm pretty sure it was just ketchup and mustard mixed together. Sorry to spoil that for you.
That was the secret ingredient?
I think so.
Oh, they've lied to me for so many years. Let's look at some of the more of these text messages from the 708. I like this one. They say that there is a place called the Wiener Circle, and they have the Nick D burger named the 2017
no
burger.
No kidding. I know Wiener Circle. That place is – I didn't know
– I didn't know they had burgers.
Honestly, I was just going to say I had no idea. And they have a Nick D burger, no less. That's pretty cool.
Man.
And from the 773 earlier, like you had touched on, mm-hmm. and seconding our call from Steve, I believe, Moody's Pub in Edgewater – the blue cheeseburger, it's beyond. So that sounds pretty great.
That does sound great. You know, actually, we do have a call. I knew that this would enlighten some conversation here. And if you want to join the conversation, you can call or text anytime here at WGN, 312-981-7200, 7200. Let's go to Stacy. She's seconding the Bop and Grill. Is this place really as good as they make it sound?
Well, you know what's not to interject. You just read my text, too, about... the Moody's Pub. It is beyond. The blue cheese burger is
all right,
beyond.
We got to check that out.
Yeah, it's right on Broadway in the heart of Edgewater. Now, if you just go a little bit north on Sheridan, right in the heart of Loyola, is the first Bop and Grill. They have a kimchi burger with your egg on it and everything. I mean, it is amazing, and they have kimchi fries. Which so, are
is this,
amazing.
So is this like a place, is Bop and Grill kind of like a Korean-inspired place?
Yes, it is. And you know what? That's the first one. And then they opened the other one up on Belmont. And this place was featured on that Food Network show.
Diners, Drive-Ins?
Yeah. They did the stint a few summers ago on that. Excuse me. And ever since then, it's just like crazy. But you can create your own burger, but they have a whole, like, Asian-inspired burger. You can get bowls, you know, the with kimchi and, and you know, the slice, the bop, you know, bibimbap.
Bibimbap. I love that.
What's bibimbap?
Yeah, they come out. You can sit outside. It's right in the heart of Loyola.
That sounds
so
great.
You got,
Well, thanks, Stacy. We appreciate that.
Yeah, great show, guys.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks, Stacy. Thanks for listening
to
Sound Sessions.
Well, I can speak to the bibimbap, or I always thought it was bibimbap or something like that. I don't know, but it's a Korean like hot bowl, and it comes out still sizzling, and it's got like your rice and your meat and your sauces and like an egg on it, and you mix it all together, and it's just heavenly. It's great.
Really?
Yeah. But I will say, I'm not.
You add that to a burger?
No, that'd be too much. But I think that's what like they you know, use that for inspiration. I'm not a big kimchi guy.
Not a big kimchi guy?
Are you like the kimchi?
You know, I if I was ordering one for my Peapod daily selection, I would not put kimchi on the on the list. But I'm up to new things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I like it on certain things, but in general, yeah, I'm not big on the kimchi. It's just, I think it's like fermented cabbage, which just sounds gross to me.
Oh, say no more. what do we got, another text?
Yeah, we got from the 724, Culver's is a decent price. So here's my thing with Culver's. Yeah, it's a decent price.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes good, the butter burger and all that.
Oh, the butter burger is phenomenal.
But every time I eat it, I feel like I've been shot with like a tranquilizer dart, and I want to sleep for a year. I don't know what it is.
It's probably all the butter.
I'm sure, yeah, but it just takes me out of commission every time.
Jeez. Well, you know what? To wrap up this segment, we only got about a minute or two left. I wanted to just do a quick roundtable. I think that we can aptly say that the listener burger for tonight, from all of our calls and texts, I've averaged it out. Kevin's done some math. We had a few calculators pulled out here.
Yeah.
Two top burgers from our listeners tonight, the Boppin' Grill.
Yeah, that's
and
popular.
Moody's.
I swear, Moody's I've heard of. I need to go check it out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here we go from the 847, actually. We'll get this last one in, then we'll throw it to news. Mm-hmm. While I agree Au Cheval is hands down the best burger in the world, my second choice is Rootstock Wine and Beer Bar in Humboldt Park. They have an amazing burger. I've not even heard of that. That's a great tip.
Man, very tasty.
I know this is in Michigan, but it's still Chicagoland to me.
Yes.
I have not had it yet, but I know people rave about Redimax. Has anybody here had Redimax?
Yeah, that's a good one, actually.
Is it?
I'll vouch for Redimax, for sure.
But they're hours, because I've been in Michigan, like in the New Buffalo area, in like February, and it's not open.
Yeah, so yeah, they're like late spring, summer, and early fall only, I think.
So frustrating.
Now it's,
one of these days, I'll get there.
All these spots, I wrote down all these places to go to, and I'm getting really hungry. Okay, one time before around the round table, favorite burger in Chicago, if you're going to go get a burger right now after the show, what are you going to go to?
Right now? Depending on how hungry I am, if I want to eat right now, I'd go to Red Hot Ranch. But if I'm okay waiting a bit, I'm going to Au Cheval.
Okay. Dan.
Goat.
The Billy goat.
I love it.
It's quick,
Michael?
Easy. I'm going Au Cheval, too. I love that burger.
There you have it.
I think we can leave off on that. That was a good segment. Thanks for all of our listener calls and everything like that. Keep the conversation going with us. Call us 312-981-7200.
No one knows anything.
I haven't eaten in a day.
All the art is canceled. We have no idea how we're getting off the island, but we know we need to get off the island.
We got to these geodomes. Quickly, we learned that it was just a free-for-all, and you just had to take whatever you could get.
Apparently, nobody had any water or food yesterday.
Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. This is Michael and Kevin. Now, Kev, as I was mentioning in the top of the show, there's a lot of great festivals that happen during the summer. Chicago is known as a festival city.
Chicago comes alive in the summer.
It really does. And there was something that hit the news over the past week that I found extremely interesting and disheartening as a true music fan. You know, you look forward to going to these festivals, and there is something called the Fyre Festival, which is kind of tied in with Ja Rule, the singer from the 90s. Rapper, singer, all around swell guy, I'm sure, but he does not know how to run a festival. Get this. Guests at a luxury festival, the Fyre Festival, where tickets cost up to $12,000, were mugged, stranded, and hungry and left alone on this island. There were actually hints that the Fyre Festival was potentially an elaborate scam before it even happened, when a big headliner, Blink-182, abruptly pulled out of this festival, claiming they were not confident that we would have to be given the things that they needed to give a quality performance to give to their fans.
Wow, okay.
What does that even mean?
It's maybe like, wonder, like, the facilities or the you know, the concert gear might not be up to standard for them. That's interesting.
Exactly. And this is kind of, this was a festival that was devoted to people who are big on Instagram, who are big on social media, who would be really promoting this as a festival for young people who are getting into it. You know, the band was expected to perform alongside acts as like Skeptica, Major Lazer, Disclosure, Kanye West,
those are
good
big
music
names.
People,
yeah.
Huge names. And it all went to heck. And we have our good friend Haima Black on the line. Haima is the host of Dynasty Podcast, all around great music expert here in Chicago. He actually just gave a speech on a panel on how to throw a successful music festival. Haima, what happened to this festival and how's it going?
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Haima.
So what exactly went down at the Fyre Festival that turned everything to heck?
So, okay, I have been following this, like, religiously online, because it's such a captivating story. Mm-hmm. And what I can piece together is that this is in the works for some amount of time. But Thursday night, you know, a couple nights ago, is when all this really started to break on social media. That's when everybody started to figure out that this was a thing that happened, and it was not going well. So the festival was organized by Billy McFarland, who is 25 years old and is...
Wow, he's a young guy.
Young guy, and he's somewhere between an entrepreneur or a scam artist or both. And he put it together with Ja Rule, the rapper. So, like you guys said, you know, tickets were going for like upwards of $250,000.
Oh my gosh! Now, what was that supposed to get you? That's insane.
I don't know exactly what like all was included with that tier, but it seems like a lot of money to go see Blink-182.
Seriously.
Good point.
It was sold by a lot of supermodels and social media influencers, like on Instagram and stuff, including Kendall Jenner, Bella Hadid, and a lot of others. So it looked very glamorous. And then when attendees actually arrived on site at this island in the Bahamas, it was not what they had paid for. It basically looked like a disaster relief area. The tents that people were staying in were actually leftover disaster relief tents,
wow.
Like actual disaster relief tents. And, you know, this is something that I guess behind the scenes there was all sorts of trouble. Like, it should not have come as a surprise that this wasn't going to go well because, you know, the festival organizers were missing payments to artists and vendors and stuff leading up to the actual event itself. You know, Blink-182 pulled out.
That's a red flag for sure.
There were all these red flags. You know, McFarland, who was, you know, one of the guys who organized this, kind of the main organizer, he had a kind of apology explanation piece in Rolling Stone yesterday where he said that when they were scouting the location, they realized there was not water or sewage on the island. So, like, that right there should have been, in my opinion, the primary red flag. Where, like, if you don't have water and sewage at your festival, like, in that entire area, that's not a place where you can safely provide any kind of live experience, you know.
That's a really good point.
Yeah,
you think that that's step one when
right,
you're creating a festival.
Basic function there, right.
I mean, it's important. And it says here in an article that I read that the Fyre Festival wasn't even on the private island that they were publicizing. It was closer to, like, Sandals, Jamaica, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they made all these incredible claims about all the things that were going to happen and all the models that would be there and all the huge talent that would be there and the incredible food by world-class chefs. And it was just none of that. And the food picture that went viral is a styrofoam container with the saddest grilled cheese – or not grilled cheese, I'm sorry, the saddest cold cheese sandwich you've ever seen with a tiny little salad, like a minuscule salad with no salad dressing. And, I mean, it looks like prison food.
This seems so outlandish. Like, is – I almost can't even, like, believe it. This seems so outlandish that, like, is this just a big scam then? I mean, how could you lose track of all this? That doesn't even make sense to me.
It seems like, in just just my take. It seems like it's somewhere between a scam and them genuinely not knowing what they're doing or not having the preparation. But if you don't know what you're doing, cancel it.
Like, right, yeah.
I don't have a lot of sympathy because it's not like they realize they didn't know what they were doing and then they're like, okay, well, we better save people a trip out of the country. It's like they didn't know what they were doing and they brought people out anyway and took their money. So I think it was this, I think they were legitimately in over their head and ended up scamming people.
Yeah, this is pure scam artistry, to be honest. Like, this is a guy who looks like he had everything set up as far as the financials go to get the money, but then to provide the appropriate accommodations for these guests, he had no clue at what he was even talking about. And we actually have a clip of the organizer, so let's see how this guy explains himself to this outlandish, horrible scam system that he created with this music festival, the Fire Music Festival.
We set out to build the festival site, and we quickly learned that the basic infrastructure in place here was not what we were used to in the United States. For example, we had to install water and sewage ourselves. We bought an ambulance in New Jersey, drove it down to Florida, and took it over on a boat. We had to find planes who could fly all these passengers in from Miami to the island and painted it with the Fire colors. It was trying to build a city from day one, and that was a massive learning experience for us. We got to a point that we were very excited about on Wednesday night with how the two sites looked. And we got hit by a big storm 4 a.m. late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning that took down half our tents as well as broke our water system. We underestimated the size of the team that we need. We had 300 full-time festival staff this year. We would seek to multiply that by a large factor for next year to make sure everything is covered properly. We're really just caught to a point where...
You know, this is...
For next year. Yeah, I love that.
This is insane.
Yeah.
What was he even thinking? And the fact that he mentioned, like, storm preparation, that it got hit by a storm, wouldn't that be in the first conversation of having it on an island?
Well, that's what I'm thinking, too. Like, he's talking about, like, we didn't realize we had to set up water and plumbing. Like, well, dude, what are you thinking? You're setting up a festival. You're flying people out to an island. Like... How dense can you be?
Yeah, it's you need to get your stuff together. I mean, what do you think of this guy, Haima?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. And one of the things that's enormous beyond just them, you know, the first thing that I couldn't get past is that there wasn't water and sewage there. And then the other thing is that in his Rolling Stone, you know, piece where he kind of apologizes, explains, but doesn't really apologize, he says... They're working on improving it for next year. And I'm just thinking, like, who is going to this next year? Like, if the Titanic had a – if they launched a second Titanic a year later, who would sign up for that? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it seems so deluded that he thinks that this is something that, like, oh, we just hit a little road bump. A road bump is when it rains at Lollapalooza for an hour and then everyone has to leave and come back.
Right,
yeah.
This is not a roadblock. So – you know, it's just, it's incredible. And it sounds, it's in line with the fact that it seems like they're just oblivious or refuse to face reality, because there was another article where a former worker of the festival named Chloe Gordon, she wrote this incredible firsthand report in New York Mag on their website about all these red flags she saw in advance of the festival. And she quit because none of the event organizers, like, listened. Nobody took any of the problems seriously. I mean, it was literally every disaster movie you see where there's the one scientist who's like, hey, here's all the things that are going to happen. And everyone's like, no, there's no, we can't get a hurricane here.
Right.
So it's like, you know, and the other thing is they knew it was going to be bad because this New York Magazine, New York Mag's website is incredible for stories about Firefest. But in another New York Mag article, it talks about celebrities being given advance warning not to attend the festival. So, like, they knew it wasn't a thing to come to, and they told celebrities not to come, but anybody else, they took their money.
And to be clear, Haima, this is still ongoing? People are still stranded on this island?
I don't know if everyone's gone, but the festival's not happening. I mean, I guess it was never happening, but now it's really not happening. Like, the event is, I think, formally canceled, but I don't know if everyone has gotten off the island or not. I think they're still sorting that out.
Yeah, it's it's pretty bizarre to think that you're going for a great time, you're packing your bags, you're talking about this, and also you're taking a huge chunk of your money
yes.
and your time to go to this festival, and then you don't even... I'm reading here that some people weren't even allowed onto the island because the conditions were so bad.
But at its core, it looks like the cheapest package started at about $1,600. Would you pay that to go see Ja Rule? No.
Yeah, I mean, especially not in 2017.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, like, the other thing, you know, talking about the money side, in a New York Times article, it says that the festival had promoted itself as a cashless event, and they asked attendees to upload their funds to a digital wristband. So a lot of these people were stranded there without money.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Well, this is just heartbreaking
for
these
mess.
People. It's a total mess. There was actually people, you know, it was an Instagram kind of Twitter-based. A lot of young people were there, basically.
Yeah.
And one of the hashtags was going around was, instead of the fire festival, it was called the dumpster fire hashtag. So let's take a quick break and let's look into this a little bit more. I wanted to get into the topic of, you know, worst festival experiences or maybe worst concert experiences too, because I have a few stories.
Poorly
about
run,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see what was going on. We're gonna continue with Haima Black from Dynasty Podcast in a bit. Let's take a quick break here on Sound Sessions. Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. This is Michael and Kevin. We were just discussing with our good friend Haima Black from Dynasty Podcast about the scam of the century. We had a festival organizer who had pulled the wool over these young lads' eyes.
Let me ask you, do you feel bad for these individuals, or do you think they should have known better?
You know... Looking into it,
I guess that's a little harsh, but
yeah, it's hard because it's like you're looking forward to going to this festival. You're obviously an enormous Ja Rule fan, and you're just like, he's finally back.
I mean, do you see this T-shirt?
Well,
how about this tattoo?
In this, is that a quote from the song?
No, okay. that's just me being me.
In this article, it says, you know, they were talking about the ticket prices. Ticket prices were steep, but of course it was because according to them, it was supposed to be the cultural event of the decade. This festival.
Yeah, they were comparing it to Coachella. They said it was going to out Coachella. It was, you know.
That's a tall order.
They really hyped it up pretty big.
You're stuck on an island with these people. Well, what about you, Haima? Do you feel bad for these people who bought these tickets?
You know, I mean, yes, I feel bad in theory because, you know, it's such a horrific experience they went through. At the same time, man, like, if you can afford that much for a music festival,
right.
even like $1,600 or upwards of $250,000, you're not at the top of my list of who I feel sorry for.
Exactly.
I mean, like,
good point.
Of course, I do hope that everyone gets home safely, obviously.
Right.
You know, that's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it's pretty crazy. I mean, the organizers had said that they built buzz by having celebrities tweet and Instagram. So this was a highly publicized festival too. In a now deleted tweet from March 27th, Ja Rule wrote, "This is where the cool kids will be April 27th through the 30th, and May 5th through the 8th.
Sign me up. Ja Rule says it. Okay, I'm going. Here we go."
Yeah, it's so strange that Ja Rule is like the face of this. Like. Like, I don't know if Fred Durst was busy. It's very surprising.
Yeah,
that's a good
bizarre.
Point. You know, you did have the panel that you had set up talking about how to run a successful music festival. You had a lot of great names. Could you speak a little bit on the recent panel that you had and maybe some insight into how to correctly run a festival? What they did wrong, what could you do right?
Sure, yeah. So a few days ago on Wednesday night, I did a panel at Chicago Athletic Hotel in the Loop, and it was a live panel event that we opened up, you know, to students and entrepreneurs. I mean, it was open to the public, and it's part of a kind of industry information panel series that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one is centered around the festival industry, like you said, and we had speakers from Lollapalooza and Warped Tour and Pitchfork and Chicago's React Presents, and it was great. It was very much about how students and newcomers to the music business can work in the festival industry. And boy, the organizers of Fire Fest really created for the discussion, but you know, they talked about a lot about, you know, doing the hard work, which it sounds like these guys didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, doing the research and being the person that's available to help, you know, being the person. They told students, and not everyone in the room was a student, but it was a lot of students. They basically said, look, you want to be part of Warped Tour, you want to be part of Lollapalooza, like, find out where you can help. Find out what you can offer that people need assistance with. Find out what you're good at that maybe somebody else doesn't have that skill. And at the same time, don't be that person that says, this isn't my job. Like, every job is your job.
Right.
If people need help, because that's what everybody on the panel has done. You know, it's like, if somebody has to go get ice, they go get ice. If somebody has to go, you know, sell tickets, even if it's the festival organizer, they do that.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
They talked a lot about just that accountability, that responsibility, and not passing the buck. And yeah, again, all that was very absent, you know, in the Fyre Festival.
Well, all these points kind of, I mean, this is something that Michael and I kind of talk about, just the importance of saying yes. I mean, especially if you're entering a career path, you know, you're fresh out of college, and maybe you're not taking exactly the path you want to get to get there, but, you know, the importance of saying yes to these little things along the way, well, that's going to help in a big way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and for me, since I teach at Columbia College, I hear students all the time talking about wanting to work in the festival business, and really, you know, the example is, like, go find out what you can offer, go find out who needs help, and go make yourself useful. And that, again and again, I've seen that work, and not just with festivals, but in general. It's like, if you want to be part of something, don't come in and say, like, hey, please do this for me. You come in and say, hey, you know, it looks like you need somebody to run your Instagram. It looks like mm-hmm, you guys mm-hmm. could use some new flyers and new designs. I'm a visual artist. Like, find a way to, you know, integrate yourself into that process.
I mean, in your opinion, I mean, you know, Chicago is a city chock full of, throughout the summer, of different festivals. Every weekend, it seems like there's some sort of music festival going on. In your opinion, of the ones that you have attended somewhat regularly, what is, like, the best run festivals for you?
Man, that's a good question. I mean, the great thing about Chicago is that the festivals that have endured, like a Lollapalooza, you know, Spring Awakening, War, you know, Riot Fest, etc., they've endured because the people who are doing them, they really care about they care about the experience, they care about the attendees, they care about, you know, the artists, they care about safety, they care about all those things. And that's why, you know, if festivals can't deliver that, they don't last. So if you see something like Pitchfork or Lollapalooza or something that has been in Chicago for, you know, I want to say in the neighborhood of a decade plus at this point, it's because they know what they're doing, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting to me too, like, having followed the timeline of Riot Fest, you've seen them kind of, like, see, okay, what works and what doesn't, and then as they've developed, like, the festival's so great.
And they started at a very small venue to begin with before they even went on mm-hmm. to the Ground Festival. They were used to be at the Concord Theater, I remember.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were at the Congress, yeah.
Oh, Congress, when Congress Fest Theater.
Started, yeah, it was a very kind of, like, centralized, you know, DIY event, and it's mm-hmm. grown from there. And then, you know, for my money, just my personal taste, the Riot Fest lineup this year is just my favorite lineup in Chicago of all the festivals. It's nothing against any of the other festivals. It's just from my personal preference, like Nine Inch Nails, Queens of the Stone Age, mm-hmm. TV on the Radio.
So oh, yeah.
That's the lineup I want to see.
See, I'm right there with you. And aside from that, too, just like the grounds, I mean, it's at Douglas Park, I want to say. They have it nice and spread out, mm-hmm. so you're not getting, like, overflow from one crowd into the next crowd for this other band. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, I love the carnival rides and the luchadors and all that. It's so much fun. I love it.
Yeah, the circus.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great experience, and it feels... You know, I like that all the festivals have their own identity. You know, Pitchfork is probably going to do something that's a little bit more high concept and artistic leaning. And then Lollapalooza is where you get to go see the really great superstar headliner acts that are just big names. You know, you have Lorde this year, which I'm really excited about. I think Lorde's incredible. And then, like, Riot Fest is where you might get to see, you know, like someone like The Offspring or Weezer, or like a band you loved in, like, middle school or high school, but that's still doing cool stuff. But it's this great, like, everybody knows what their identity is. So nobody thinks, like, oh, I'm going to have the same experience at Spring Awakening, Pitchfork, and Riot Fest are all the same thing. It's like those are very different experiences.
Well, kind of off topic here, but you mentioned Weezer. What is with, I mean, and I don't expect you to have an answer for this, but what is with the new trend of all these bands, like, once they hit a certain point in their career, they're like, okay, we're going to go on a cruise, and you can come to
That's
us.
That's a good point.
What is that? Why is this happening?
It's taking over.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess that I think for some of these bands, their audiences have disposable income. You know,
yeah.
If you're Weezer, like your fan base, at least some of them are like XRT people. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to talk about other radio.
I've never heard of that station before. Who?
Yeah. But, you know, like they're like kind of they're in their 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
So they have income to burn to go on a cruise probably and go hit the nostalgia circuit. But that would be my guess. I don't know. I have never gone on a Weezer cruise. I haven't done any cruises, so
yeah, it's weird.
I can't
to me.
Speak to that fully.
There's like 311, Fish. I mean, there's countless ones. It's just I hear a new band every day seems to be putting one together.
Only time before Kanye West starts the yacht tour.
See, that's when I'll jump on.
Yes.
Well, Haima, you are a wealth of information. Where can our listeners find more information about yourself, Dynasty Podcast, the panels that you're doing? I mean, you're everywhere, man.
Yeah, I mean, I try, just like you guys, man. Everybody's trying to do their best because Chicago's on fire right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Honestly, my Twitter is honestly the best place to keep up with everything. So it's just Haima Black, J-A-I-M-E Black. And also DynastyPodcast.com. That's Dynasty Podcast plural, or Dynasty Podcast on Twitter. But, man, thank you guys so much for inviting me to talk about
thank
this.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much. We could always talk for days on this kind of stuff, and hopefully Kanye puts together that tour quick, and we'll all jump on it next time. Great talking
sounds
to you,
good.
Haima.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
You too. Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. This is Kevin Richter. This is Michael Heidemann.
Hey,
Michael.
Kev.
That was a great conversation with Haima Black. Really, really smart guy.
Very, very interesting to hear his take on it. And the thing is, he is like he said, he's a teacher at Columbia, and he does a lot of those great panels throughout the city. So it was good to hear his take on it, because to get scammed that bad as a young person, I mean, young, very wealthy people, I mean, they need love too sometimes, I suppose. But being stuck on an island would be the worst experience if you're just going to see some music.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about it because you and I, like, we had talked during the break, like, any bad experiences we may have had at a festival.
Yeah.
And, I mean, nothing compares to what these people are going through. Poor individuals out there. But...
Right. I had written down some examples. I'm like, somebody too tall stood in front of me.
I know, there's
my
that.
Shoes got muddy.
Yeah, my feet hurt after the fourth day. But it's like, yeah, you got your crowds and you got your, like, waiting in line for the bathrooms. But other than that, like, I don't think, you know, we've been lucky, I guess. I haven't had too many issues, really.
Well, that's what makes Chicago such a great festival city, and it's just a great city for music in general, because we have, I mean, instead of one festival going to hell, like, for example, he mentioned the day that Lollapalooza needed to be evacuated because of the rain.
Yeah, but there's
a slight hiccup.
That's out of their control anyway. That's just going to happen.
But they had a plan, and they had over 200,000 people that they moved out of the that area.
And not only that, the way they handle the grounds, yeah, the grounds get thrashed, mm-hmm. but then, you know, they pay back the damages, and they come back every year, and it's great for the city. 312-981-7200. You can call or text that line if you had any experiences that have been kind of sour at a festival or a concert. Call in and let us know. We'd mm-hmm. love to hear from you. But Michael, so there's this trend going on lately, huh?
There is.
On the Facebook.
There's another thing that has been kind of trending around on the old Facebook, as you mentioned. Kevin, have you seen the 10 concerts list on Facebook?
Yeah, I have not participated, but I have seen it. It's kind of silly.
Over the last few days, if you've seen people list the 10 concerts they've been to, and then one of them is not real. So that's kind of like the viral sensation that's taking over Facebook right now. And I got some sour news for you. Hackers actually could use those 10 concert lists against you. This is not good.
Okay, how can that happen?
Well, you think that it's fair enough. I mean, Facebook is – people put their whole lives on it. So what's a 10-concert kind of list gonna affect me in a way or not? But it ends up having some pretty devious undoings if you do it, because you're already putting so much on Facebook in general, right, Kevin?
Well, yeah, people are in general.
Some
yes.
people are.
Yeah.
Some people kind of overshare. That's the phrase that kind of goes around when you're oversharing on
yes.
Facebook. But the thing is, when you're doing these 10 concerts, you're giving people a lot of information. And first of all, the first devious thing is that these advertisers could glean your list to learn more about you, and that way better target ads based on the things that you
that,
love.
That drives me so crazy. Where I've been, okay, maybe I'm looking. Let's see, what did I most recently purchase on Amazon? Something silly. Oh, okay, so this is a whole other story in itself, but
yes.
I recently purchased a rubber snake on Amazon, okay?
Go on.
Long story short.
Rubber snake?
You can listen on the Bill and Wendy show about it, but I had a bird, a robin, making a nest on my back deck, and I didn't want it establishing itself on my back deck, so I used a rubber snake to get it to go away. Long story short.
Did it work?
Yeah, it's worked.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't want to, like, harm the bird or anything, you know, but I so... But anyway, the point of the story is, after buying this little rubber snake on Facebook, and I'm seeing all these ads for different little rubber animals and this snake, and it's like, come on.
There's so many pet store, like, advertisements and stuff.
It's just ridiculous.
See, that's... It's really scary, because I see that happen all the time. Like, the other day, I was just merely talking with somebody. And again, call us right now if you've had a similar experience. I was talking to somebody about pillows. Like, I was talking about my pillow, and I was talking about, you know, getting a new bed, a Casper bed maybe. And then the next night, on my Facebook wall, nothing but beds and pillows were advertised. And I hadn't typed it in or anything like
what?
That.
What? That's freaky.
So weird, right?
So just from you having a conversation with somebody?
Yes, from having a conversation with somebody. And there's these, you know, all these new techniques where they're able to mine this information.
You're
from
chipped.
Me.
You're bugged.
I think I am. We'll go on into it later, but Bose headphones are actually spot on.
Oh, yeah, we should
get
into that
That's
one.
Kind of a thing. We'll save that for later. Now, the second thing is that's happening with this list of 10 concerts is, this is a little bit more insidious. It's that account hacking is going on. What is your favorite concert is often the secret question for some people's accounts. Like, if you know, when you're putting together your credit card, and it asks you, you know, what's your mother's maiden name, and then it says, what's your secret question? It's usually, you know, what's your favorite pet, or what was your first school, and then what is your favorite concert?
That's so funny.
So people are using this
They're
to hack
showing
into
their
those
hands.
Accounts.
Well, I kind of want to play this a little bit since I haven't done it yet, but I don't think on the fly I can come up with 10.
Okay.
Well, I could come up with 10 different concerts, but I'm going to do 3. And
cut it down to 3.
You pick the one I haven't been to.
Okay, let's go around the horn and play this game real quick with our producer, Dan, as well.
All right, so starting off, I've got Rush.
Okay, Rush.
I've got Iron Maiden. And I've got Pearl Jam.
Which
have I not been to?
Those, off the top of my head, I think that those are 3 concerts you could have definitely gone to here in the city of Chicago, so that
checks out.
That doesn't really help me very much. You love the band Rush.
Now don't go hacking my accounts here.
You hear that, everybody? I'm thinking, I know you're a big fan of Rush, so I think I think that that's a true one. Iron Maiden, I haven't heard you mention them a lot. Pearl Jam, I've heard you mention once or twice, and they're a huge Chicago band. I'm going to go Iron Maiden on this one.
Dan, do you have an opinion here?
I was trying to think of my own. Give me the 3 again.
I got Rush, Iron Maiden, and Pearl Jam.
Yeah, I'll go Iron Maiden as the fake one.
So you guys don't think I've seen Iron Maiden?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with that one. Which one is it, Kevin?
I've seen Iron Maiden, and it was amazing. It was Pearl Jam. I've never seen Pearl Jam. Never seen Pearl Jam. No, I saw Iron Maiden at the Allstate Arena back in, 2007 or 8. They had just put out a new album. And they played their new album in its entirety and played like The Trooper and like 3 other, like Fear of the Dark and some others. I actually really like Iron Maiden, if you can't tell.
Yeah, I can kind of tell that.
So yeah, it was a little disappointing that they didn't play the jams.
Dan, you got your list all ready to go?
Not yet. Go ahead.
You got one, Michael?
Okay, let me see here real quick. Yeah, I got one real fast.
I'm gonna nail it. I know it.
I know. For me, I'm kind of like an open book when it comes to these concerts. So this is kind of a tough one. Okay, here we go. My 3 concerts are Blink-182.
Okay.
Electric Light Orchestra.
Hmm.
And Ringo Starr.
I'm saying you have not seen Electric Light Orchestra.
Okay, that's a good guess. Dan?
I'll go... Ringo.
All right.
See, well, here's my reasoning. I know you've seen Blink-182 because I remember last year you came straight from a Blink-182 show.
Oh, yeah,
here.
That's right. I did a show after I went to that concert. Okay, that makes sense.
Now, I know you're a big Beatles guy.
Yes.
So that's why I think you've seen Ringo.
Okay.
Which is it?
I have seen Ringo.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I have not seen Electric Light Orchestra, but I have been dying to see them for years. I think that's an amazing band, but they're the one, like... white horse that I have not been able to find yet, which is kind of a bummer. If you want to play this game too, call us again. It's 312-981-7200 here on WGN. But this is the moment for Dan. Dan, you ready to go?
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's hear these 3 bands.
The Black Keys.
Okay.
Styx.
Styx.
The Offspring.
Ooh, this is tough. I think you're a pretty diverse guy musically. I think you have a pretty diverse taste.
Mm-hmm.
So Black Keys, I'm going to say you have not seen the Black Keys.
Okay, I'm going to just go through these. Let's think here. Black Keys, all huge bands. I know that they come through Chicago. Black Keys, great two-piece. I could see you seeing them. Styx, a great Chicago band. So that fares pretty well as you would go to a city show of Styx. Then we got the Offspring. Now, the Black Keys and Offspring are kind of throwing me off. I'm going to go with you have not seen the Black Keys.
Offspring. I have not seen the Offspring.
Wow.
I would love to see them.
Yeah.
Next time they come, we're going.
Let's do it.
So we've got some texts here.
Okay.
From the 724. This kind of cracks me up. You two must have the richest parents. You can buy premium burgers and eat them on your luxury beds. What a charmed life you have. Well, here's what you're failing to realize. Mom and Dad aren't buying our burgers or our beds, buddy. Thank you, though.
No, this is we talk about these things as if we're dreaming them up. To be honest, it's like I would love to get a nice.
And
if I
ate my burger on my bed, I'd make such a big mess.
Yeah,
come on,
do that.
Get real.
Your luxury $14 burger
on my $14 bed.
did this listener not hear the fact that all I spend my money on is groceries? I'm learning how to cook. I eat taco meat and bananas. That's all I eat. Right?
Taco meat and bananas. Uh-huh. Yeah. So basically, long story short, moral of the story, don't do the top 10 list with all the bands you have not seen or have seen and this and that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good point, because you might get your account hacked, which is never good.
Well, why don't we do this? Let's take a quick break. We will come back with some more fun topics and stories to discuss. We only have another 15 minutes or so left of the show.
I can't believe it's gone by so fast. Again, yeah. This is Sound Sessions. We're in for the Nocturnal Journal with David Hoekstra. I think, Kevin, we have this great article that we came across. It's actually, I know that you have your family come to the city a bunch.
Well, let's do this. There's because to do. Speaking of our parents, 724, make sure you stick around for this. So let's take a quick break. This is Sound Sessions here on our luxury beds with our luxury burgers. Coming back next here on WGN. Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. Got you for another, 10, 11 minutes here. That's about it. Then we're done.
Wow. Went by fast.
Again, you can find us, WGNradio.com. We're there. You can find us on iTunes.com/SoundSessions, Twitter @SoundSeshPod. You can find us on Facebook. Go ahead and like our page. Say hi. Shoot us an email, SoundSessionsPod, like podcast, pod@gmail.com.
Yeah, I love reaching out to people. It's fun to communicate with everybody.
Yeah, we've had some good interaction tonight. It's been a lot of fun.
I agree. These texts are fantastic. Keep them coming. We're kind of getting overloaded with them, and I'm really enjoying it from the 724. We've got some kudos from them. It's you guys are what does it say? To be serious, you two rock. What great hosts you are. Thank you so much.
This is the same individual that has been razzing us a little bit, which I don't mind. It's all in good fun. We're having a good time.
Yeah, this is what we try to bring here on Sound Sessions. It's a breath of positivity to WGN Radio. Kevin, now the summer's coming up, and that means one thing. Your parents are going to come to the city and visit you, and you're going to see them, and we're going to go out to dinner. And there's a few places that I stumbled upon this great article from do312.com. Cool bars you can take your parents to.
I love that. Well, hold on. This has to start for me, at least.
Yes.
There's a caveat here.
Okay.
My dad only drinks Bud Light cans or the aluminum bottles. So any of these bars has to have one of those two. That's
only Bud Light cans or aluminum bottles.
Won't do tequila, won't do Miller Lite, just Bud Light cans or the aluminum bottles. That's it.
What about normal Budweiser?
Oh, no.
Man.
Nope. Bud Light.
He's a man and he knows what he likes.
He knows what he likes, believe me.
Okay. Okay, so that's I feel like you can get that a lot of places.
Yeah, well, luckily for him, it's almost at every bar. Well, you know what's funny, though? There's, like, certain bars in Chicago that I've tried to have my birthday at or Big Star.
Yeah.
They don't have Bud Light. But, you know, that's, like, who they are marketing themselves to. It's it's not the typical Bud Light crowd, right?
That's a good point.
Assuming that all of these have Bud Light, yes, I can take my parents to these bars.
Let's just assume they all have Bud Light and big pictures of Harry Carey drinking it on the side of the building. Kevin, Kevin, have you ever been to this place called the Violet Hour?
I have been to the Violet Hour. It's suggesting you take your parents there?
Yeah. In fact, it says, you won't hear your parents tell you to get off your phone because here the Violet Hour has a strict no phones rule.
I do like that. That's pretty cool.
Perfect for parents. Violet Hour is dripping in elegance with a high-backed leather seating and candlelight accenting the marble tables. Enjoy conversation and pre-prohibition inspired drinks in this classy establishment.
I'm going to call this one a swing and a miss. Sorry.
You don't think that this is a good place to bring your parents?
My parents in particular. Yeah, that's not going to work. Maybe, like my mom and I, we could go there maybe, but it's really nice in there. It's kind of romantic, you know? I'd rather take a date there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very dark too.
Yeah, that's...
They don't have like many lights there, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe not take your parents there.
No. I mean, if your parents are very, very posh, I guess you could go. The people who went to that fire festival. Yeah, they can bring their parents there. Yeah. But okay,
well, it's a great bar. But
great bar. I love it too, and it's a hidden kind of scene,
it's a cool
too,
spot.
Which is nice. Number two, we got the Watershed. The Watershed, you might know it as the bar located underneath Pops for Champagne here downtown in Chicago. You can start up with a warm drink at Pops and head downstairs to the 70 Styles Lounge. It'll bring your parents back to their childhood den.
I've not been there. I might want to check that out. As long as they have Bud Light, I'm in.
I think they have the Bud Lights. I remember them having a really good appetizer menu.
So you've been? Those.
Yeah, I've been there.
You like it? It's pretty cool?
I do like it. I do. I've only been there once. Dan, have you ever been to the Watershed underneath Pops for Champagne?
I haven't, no.
Yeah, it's a cool spot. It kind of is like a living room like you would go to. I think a lot of these bars are creating that living room kind of sense.
Well, you kind of strike me as like, judging on your Billy Goat Tavern suggestion, you strike me as like a dive bar kind of guy.
Yeah, that's my Billy Goat suggestion and my Nisei Lounge hoodie that I have on behind me. I'm definitely a dive bar guy.
Yeah, there's a good something to be said about a good
dive bar. I can't
say
I go out with my parents that often, though.
Yeah, I don't either, but that's okay.
But if you had to go out with your parents, and I'm forcing you to do this, what dive bar would you bring them to?
Oh, that's a good question. You're going to have to give me a minute on that one.
Okay, let's go through a few more of these, and we'll get back to our dive bar. I love a good dive bar, too.
The best.
I mean, I don't know if I'd bring my parents to Rossi's or something.
Smells
like
old beer and the bathroom. That's when you know you found a good one.
Just like home.
Right.
We got number three here. How about right across the street from us, the Purple Pig? On the Magnificent Mile, it's right across from our Tribune Tower here. That's a great spot to go to.
Yeah, you know, I guess I wouldn't even count that as. I guess it has a bar, but I would call this more of a restaurant. The food there is pretty. It's really, really good. But I think they're kind of known for using some exotic cuts of meat and things like that.
Yeah,
I believe I had a beef heart Italian beef. It was really good, actually.
Beef heart.
Yeah, it was made of beef heart.
Oh, it was tasty.
Yeah, it was really good.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they don't play around there.
No, that sounds very exotic.
Yeah, well, and I know they have sweetbreads there. You know what sweetbreads are, right?
I know what sweetbreads are.
For those who don't know, it's like a gland in the brain of an animal, I believe. It's not like actual bread that's sweet.
What?
Yeah, so sweetbread, like sweetbreads. Yeah, I'll look it up.
Here, okay, I'll go to the next one real quick while we look up some glands from an animal. here's a classic spot, and I hope that you guys have been to it once. The Green Mill here in Chicago, the classic Green Mill.
Yes, this is one that I would absolutely take my parents to. I've actually not been myself, and it's been on my radar for so long, and I just have not pulled the trigger. I live like a mile from there, and I have not pulled the trigger yet.
That's interesting. You know, I guess we should explain it for everyone who is not from Chicago and not from Illinois. We have a lot of listeners throughout the Midwest, 38 states and Canada, in fact. The Green Mill is like our definition of a Prohibition-style bar. It's where, you know, Capone used to hang out. There's like certain allure behind this place.
It's a jazz swing club. To build on those sweetbreads real quick. Sweetbreads, this is from Wikipedia, are culinary names for the thymus or the pancreas, especially of a calf and lamb. So I guess I was wrong. It's not brain, but it's thymus and pancreas. Yum.
You know, I'm getting really hungry after that crock pot.
After all the crock pot, Bert, we still finish it off strong.
All right, let's go to the next spot real quick. Now, this is a certain shout out to my mom. There's this new spot that's here in Chicago. It's gaining a lot of steam. It's called Cindy's Rooftop.
I keep hearing about this. And is this the one that has the sign that says Rosé all day or something like that?
It might be. You know, I've never actually been there before because it's a very exclusive spot. But located above the Chicago Athletic Association, Cindy's is famous for the stunning view of Millennium Park here in Chicago. The vaulted glass ceilings and stylish decor makes it a perfect spot to enjoy a signature cocktail and a bite with mom and dad. This sounds like a great Mother's Day kind of place to bring your mom to.
And from the 847, Purple Pig is owned by the famous Greek Banos brothers. That's true, and they know what they're doing. The food is so good.
They're on Bill and Wendy a lot sometimes, right?
They're all over the station, yeah. And I can only assume the sweetbreads are great.
You're all about those sweetbreads.
Now, hey, Dan, have you come to a decision about your dive bar?
I haven't. Well, actually, kind of I have. It's not really a dive bar, but it's low-key enough and kind of neighborhoody enough where you can kind of slot it in there. And it's you know, palatable for the whole family.
Okay.
The whole family of drinkers. I'd go Maria's Bar on 31st Street in Bridgeport.
Oh, I've not been there, actually.
What's the draw to Maria's?
I've heard about this place, I think.
There's like a dry goods store kind of that you walk in like through the front and then you go... Like in the back, there's the bar, and it's been around forever. But they got all sorts of beers, extensive beer list, extensive like cocktail list. But it's still, I think it's accessible enough for I'm just a regular Joe, and it's accessible enough for me.
Yeah, yeah. See, I like that. Some of these spots are a little bit more luxurious, I suppose. A lot of them are maybe have some pricier cocktails.
I'm a big fan.
That.
If we're going dive bars, I like the Bob Inn. I used to live right by
the Bob Inn,
right over there. It's like just west of Fullerton and Western. And my dad's name is Bob, so it's like it's fitting. I'll take my dad there in a heartbeat.
Perfect.
I watched many a Cubs and Hawks game there. It's a good little spot for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I like going down Division Street, and I like going down Diversey. What's that bro bar area by the downtown area near Rush? I can't remember what it's called, but it's a great spot. It has like I can't remember the name of it. Darn it!
I don't know.
But if you go down there, it's a great strip of bars. I mean, there's a lot of great strips of bars down here.
Absolutely. Well, Chicago. What is the saying? Chicago is like churches and bars or something like that. Basically,
that makes sense.
Yeah. One of the bars on this list I've not been to yet, but I mean to check out Lost Lake, and that's kind of out on the west side. It's a little tiki bar. These are not spots I would take my parents to. I'm more geared to take a date or my wife there. Rather.
Yeah,
not or my wife. My wife would be my date. To be clear,
these are all good spots. If you want to find the list, you can go to do312.com, search cool bars you can take your parents to. It's just a great spot to be here in the city. I'm looking forward to the summer. It's a bit rainy right now.
Wait.
But this is going to be a great city to be a part of, and there's no better place to go through your summer days than listening to WGN.
That's right. Well, speaking of that, we're about out of time here. We got a minute left. Just want to say thanks to Dan here in the booth.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Thank you, guys. It was fun.
I didn't get to give him a shout-out yet, but if you want to follow Dan on Twitter, it's @DLO. Is that D-L-O?
Yes.
Express.
Yep.
@DLO Express. He's always tweeting about the Cubs, it seems, and maybe his favorite beer and maybe a concert or two or things like that. Good stuff on Twitter there.
He also has that great podcast, Studio B.
That's
lots
right.
Lots of great guests. They just had the guys. Who'd you just have on the show?
The guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
That's
just
awesome.
Restarted on Netflix, and that's still up at WGNradio.com. It's a pretty extensive. We did about 45 minutes. We got in depth.
Wow.
So
that's very cool, man. That's awesome. Well, that's great. Well, while we're at it, let's promote what we got coming up on Sound Sessions.
Let's do it.
Well, it's that time of year where all the bands seem to be coming through. So we just talked to Tycho.
Mm-hmm.
We got Mastodon coming up. Mm-hmm. We got M Ward, Minus the Bear,
J.C. Brooks, Uptown Sound.
So lots of good stuff. Just find us on Twitter or go on our WGNRadio.com or iTunes.com/Sound Sessions is your best bet.
That's right. And if you ever want to reach out to us or listen to the other shows that we're a part of, Kevin is the executive producer of the Bill and Wendy Show.
That's true.
I am the executive producer of the Patty Vasquez shows. Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. You can hear us daily. So we're kind of all over the place. We'd love to stay in touch with you guys. Thank you so much for listening to us. For Dan, Kevin, Haima, everybody here at the show.
Yeah.
It's been a great experience.
And for all of you that texted and called in, thank you so much for your interaction. It's been a lot of fun. So let's call it a night, shall we?
Let's do it.